if you're going to set your phone down on the table, all I need is a good book and some silly putty, and I will take that phone. You never know it.
You're listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, where HIPAA and humor collide to make learning fun. Your delightful hosts are Donna Grindle and David Sims. Relax. HIPAA help is on the way.
Welcome to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast. My name is David Sims of HIPAA for MSPs and Security First IT. Joining me is Donna Grindle, Cardin Compliance. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning, David, and Security First IT. Congratulations on that. I'm so proud of you.
Oh, no. It's still so overwhelming, I can't breathe. Oh, boy. So, yeah, merging two companies, not fun. Exciting, but not fun.
It's tedious and time-consuming, and it requires you to adapt to change.
Yeah. Well, the good thing about it, it gives you an opportunity. Well, gives me an opportunity to kind of revisit everything. So, you know, it's like, okay, yeah, we're gonna redo all of our policies and procedures and look at everything differently again and all that good stuff. So,
hey, new policies and procedures, yeah. Just what you love to do.
You know, I am so excited to do another risk analysis.
You mean you are doing it? Right now.
Yeah, of course I am. Yes. Yeah. But it's, you know, for us, it's easy because we just make sure we, for most cases, we just don't touch PHI. But there's the occasional things we have to account for. So yep. it's not too difficult to do. It's the policies and procedures that take so long. But luckily, I already have those from previous companies. So it's just revisiting them and rereading them and modifying them and stuff like that. So. Instead of using templates.
Good idea. Good move.
I know. So today we're going to talk about a pretty cool topic. We're going to look at cybersecurity outside of the office. We're always talking about what to do, you know, from the practice or from your company. But we don't spend a whole lot of time talking about cybersecurity while you're at home or on the road or if you have, you know, road warrior workers. And this all came out of a recent OCR publication, so we'll get into that. But before we do, where are you going to be coming up?
Well, I'm getting excited. The clock's ticking now. Stuff's, you know, starting to happen. So I have the Georgia, South Carolina Joint Semi-Annual Conference and Trade Show for the Ambulatory Surgical Center Associations.
It's still hard to say.
It is. JAWS Society Annual Conference in Newport Beach is great until you say it's the National Society of Oral and Maxillofacial. You know, I get all tongue-tied. I get excited. Can't do it. So I just shut down. So, but in February, I'm doing the ASC thing, and in April, the JAWS conference, and there's another thing in February, and it's cool. OCR is going to be there. I'm going to be speaking in February 22nd, and I don't even know the name of it, but I know I'm going to be there, and I'm going to be speaking. So there you go. And now that I'm well enough to consider that I may live and not long enough to schedule a few more, I am now back to scheduling. So we'll see what's coming up next.
Awesome. So we talked about boot camps last time.
Well, all week, you know, my team and you, we've been trying to work out boot camps. So
yeah. So should we throw the idea out to the audience yet?
Yeah. Why not? Get some feedback because we clearly can't make a decision.
All right. So, Mr. and Mrs. Listener, here's the deal. We have had some interest in a virtual HIPAA boot camp whereby you will attend through a video conference. Think of it as like a webinar you can participate in. So basically what we want to know is if you're interested in that, let us know. Shoot us an email, contact at, what is it? HelpMeWithHIPAA.com. Contact at HelpMeWithHIPAA.com and let us know if that's something that you're interested in so that we can determine whether or not to allocate some valuable time toward making that happen.
Yeah, so there's a lot of things we're talking about. We feel it's important for that interaction. So we do want that, but we also know it'd be hard to sit in front of the computer video for 2 days like we do it normally. So this would be, a couple of hours a day for a period of time. So we're open to some feedback. If you have it, feel free to shoot it to us.
Yeah, because I'm sure there's people that says, I'd love to come to a boot camp, but, I'm in Texas or California, and it's going to take, a lot of time away from work and travel expenses and all that. So here's another option, possibly. So we just need to see if people are interested before we go down that path.
Yeah, and we're working on a date to do one in Atlanta.
In Atlanta. Oh, they don't do that anymore. Sorry.
No. The ATL, right. Man.
Yeah, the ATO. You're right. All right. So also, thanks for all the new Patreon people out there that are giving to help keep the lights on. And if you're interested in helping out and being part of the podcast, you can go over to helpmewithhippa.com/give. And you can give as little as a quarter an episode to help out. So check that out. I mean, honestly, if you get any value at all out of the podcast, it would help out. We also have an app, mobile app. And cool show notes that are in PDF format. So you can put that into your training documentation. So check that out. And as always, leave us some feedback wherever it is that you are to leave feedback.
Yeah, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter. One of those.
Yeah. Oh, we're on Spotify now.
We're on Spotify. There you go.
Yeah. So. Awesome. Good job, Donna. You got us on Spotify.
I do my best to keep things working.
All right. So, anything else before we dive into the topic?
No, let's hit it.
Let's do it. All right. Cybersecurity outside of the office. So, this is going to be interesting. In December, OCR put out a publication, Cybersecurity While on Holiday.
It's very European, while on holiday.
Hello, holiday.
Holiday.
So, it's pretty good stuff that we're going to go over here. You want to start it off with kind of a prelude into the topics we're going to hit?
No.
No. Okay, very good. Let's go to number one.
the overall, the newsletter from OCR prompted me to look back and see if we'd done anything that really focused on telework and, home working is a major thing today. So, having a policy for what your staff needs to do when they're working outside the office. I mean, the big thing about technology now is you can work wherever you are, which is a good thing, and then again, not. Mm-hmm. I know that I do, and I'm able to. I've done work sitting on the beach, literally. So, you can do it on the plane. There's a million different ways, but you're out in public. And when you're in public,
don't expose yourself. That's what we're saying.
You can get it right.
Digitally.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. And so there's a lot of things that you have to worry about, both, even when, I travel and I go to my siblings' homes and stay with them, I mess around and secure the networks. And they're all like, do you have to do this? But yeah, I do. And it's something that's important that everybody should worry about if you work outside the office. You should worry about it anyway, because you need to secure what's going on, because it's getting scary out there.
Oh, yeah. As bad as you and I already know that it is, it's nearly every day something else. I mean, before we hit record today, we were looking at something that was like, oh, my gosh.
Uh-huh.
I don't even want to talk about it right now, because we'll go down a rabbit hole.
Yeah.
But it's just another thing that's like, you can't stay ahead of it. Mm-mm. It's bad. So
protections.
Let's dive into it. Yeah. But you bring up a good point about going, on vacation or to a relative's house or whatever. But the very first one we're going to talk about is something I hadn't thought of much before. But if you're staying in a hotel and you're kind of plugging into all their recharging stations and stuff like that, or connecting to their Wi-Fi, there's actually some things we have to be aware of here. And so the tip number one is to bring and use your own power adapters and cords.
Yes. And it's one of those things that, like, well, when Carla read this one, she's like, oh, no.
I do that all the time.
Well, you know, it's really cool now because USB adapters are everywhere. So you can just plug in and charge. You can do it on the plane. You can do it on the lamp at the hotel in between the bed. You can do, in my car, I've got multiple USB ports. And while you have all of those, everybody doesn't think a thing about plugging their phones or other, you know, tablets, whatever you use, and just sticking them right in that charger. Oh, USB, bloom. And what's on the other side of that, people don't really know that you could get into serious trouble there.
Yeah, because even though USB is being used for charging, it can also carry data.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's a two-way street. So malware can be put into the areas, if you will, where these USB devices, and let's don't go down that rabbit hole, but the bottom line is when you plug into any USB port, know that it's not the same as plugging straight into the outlet on the wall with your own USB plug. Mm-hmm. And now they make a thing, which I've been watching, the prices are going down. Just in the last year, the prices are going down, but they make USB condoms, and it's what they're called, and so that it's a one-way path, and you get, it's called charge-only cables or charge-only smart charging. There's a lot of different names for it, but, you know, I'm looking at ordering a pack of them so that we can have them with us everywhere we go, and then, you know, you get the best of both worlds. You can use those devices because what these things do is it disconnects that data conversation. It'll only allow the power supply to come through and no data. So when you plug into your computer or you plug into your car, it doesn't know that you're there. And so that's my big thing I'm watching for. And first of all, it's just cool that you say, do you have a USB condom?
I will not ask that. I will get slapped.
I'm like, David, you want to borrow my condom? And and seriously, if you Google USB condom, you'll see it. They now are calling them charge-only smart chargers and all kinds of other stuff. But the first people that came out with these, that's what they called them. The original USB condom.
Interesting. I saw a charger the other day. You know, do you ever use those block chargers? You know, like if you're going to recharge your phone or something like that.
Yeah, you got me hooked on that.
Right. I saw one the other day that was actually had enough juice to recharge a laptop.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that's a good way to go as well.
Yeah, because you carry your own power with you. And you know, those things, they're a little heavy, but I tell you what, you know, once you got me hooked on it at Hims last year, ours goes with us everywhere. You know, I love that thing. And you can just, you don't have to be near a plug to get a little charge, a little boost.
All right. So next topic up is backing up your files.
Yes.
How much do we talk about this?
Yeah. Yeah. Because you don't know what's going to happen. It's going to get damaged, stolen, whatever. So you need a backup so you don't lose it. And make sure your backups are
encrypted.
Yeah, you encrypt and secure them. Don't just go, hey, well, I'm going to put this somewhere. Make sure that you put the proper layers of security on. So, you know, if you're you know, one of the things, it's so easy with the Apple devices that people, I'll just back up to the iCloud. Well, have you done anything to make sure you've secured it? What do you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it just, no, it's not secure just by plugging it in. So, yeah. You definitely want to do that. But having a copy of your files prevents a lot of panic and those kind of things. In fact, I was recently watching an episode of Mom because I DVR all the comedies so that when I'm done with my work, I can watch comedies because I need it. And they had an episode where the laptop was stolen. And you know, it was like, well, didn't you back it up? I mean, everybody knows you should back it up. And the answer was, I wouldn't be freaking out if I had backed it up. So there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. Well, the other thing, too, is that some people have backups, but either they're incorrectly done or they've never been tested, so they may not work.
That's right.
I had a person tell me one time that they had a backup of their documents, and so I said, all right, where's your backup at? It was in the backup folder on the computer.
Okay, you're missing the point of the backup.
Not helpful.
Yeah. Well, it does under certain cases, but not the big ones.
Yeah. All right, so make sure you back up your files. Mm-hmm. Number three, install security updates and patches.
Patch, baby, patch. We just talked about this when we were talking about Meltdown and Spectre. And it's really scary. And I know that sometimes patches can be almost worse. I mean, we have a computer right now that is waiting on me to come coddle it and take care of it because it got screwed up during an update. So... It does happen, but you're way more likely to have a major problem if you don't patch than if you do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just know that patches can break things. a la Windows 10 patching and Microsoft Office.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be my problem right now. So, yes, it can go wrong, but by and large, they don't. You know, I mean, when you think about how many computers are patched on a daily basis with updates from all these different vendors and all these different things going on, it's not really likely. When you know how many devices you guys support there at Security First IT, there's a ton of devices and you patch them, you know, some patches going on all the time and you don't have every day one of them failing. Patch, I don't think.
No, but the biggest problem is people understand somewhat about Windows updates or Mac updates or whatever you're using, because we all know that Macs are super vulnerable nowadays. If you don't know, there's a zero-day virus out for that.
Yeah, there's a lot of things. Y'all be patching it. We've been saying.
Yeah, because I still hear people say, well, I have a Mac, I don't need antivirus. I digress. Yeah. So they understand about the operating system updates, but a lot of people don't understand that there are third-party patching. So all the software on your computer needs to be looked at and updated and patched. And many times that is not being done. And the more software you put on your computers, the more that has to be patched and updated.
Right. So worry about all of it.
Yep.
So the next one, though, I wasn't, we're adding in some of our own, granted, because
we do.
You know that OCR didn't talk about USB condoms. But this next one, I don't know. I want to hear what you think about it. Now, granted, they are bringing into play the new NIST guidelines on passwords when they talk about create new passwords and change your passwords. Mm-hmm. But changing your passwords that you use while you're traveling and adding multi-factor authentication, which we also talked about. I don't necessarily change my passwords, but we don't have crappy passwords to start with. So they do mention a numerical sequence is not ideal. Like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. A longer combination of letters, numbers, and symbols. Consider using a passphrase. And I love the passphrase that they use. Somebody's got a little bit of humor. My dog ate my homework and got indigestion. That's a great password.
Everybody's going to use it now. Yeah. So it'll be on the top 10 list next year.
somebody be creative, come up with an alternative statement there. But they recommend changing the password and then changing it back or, using a different one while you're gone than the one you would normally use, and make changing the password be part of your travel plans. Mm-hmm. Do you do that?
No.
I don't either. But we have multi-factor authentication on almost everything, so it's a lot different.
I could give you my password and you're still not going to get in.
Yeah, exactly. You have to... security's not convenient.
Yeah, trust me, my security is so good that it aggravates me.
Yeah, it does. I was in Decatur here, and they use Park Mobile, which is awesome. That you can use an app, and you just stand there and get the right wherever you're at, and you pay for that, and it tells you how long, you know, you don't run out and put quarters in like you used to. And it's great, but when I got out and I hit my thing and it said, oh, your credit card's expired. So now I got to log into stuff and go change my account. And, you know, because the app, it lets you do your automatic thing. And I just had the thumbprint going on it. And that was great, but you can't make those changes that way. And so here I stood on the square indicator, screwing around with my phone so that I could do that. And, you know, I was mumbling, security's not convenient.
It's not. But, you know, it beats the alternative.
Yeah, really it does. I didn't complain. I just did the what you got to do. So, yeah.
You probably chuckled a little bit.
I did. I laughed at myself. So, but the next one is lock devices down, which is the same kind of thing of enabling that the PIN and the fingerprint and face ID, whatever it is, you know, at least you've got another line of defense. Mm-hmm. And is much better. And encrypt the mobile devices. They say remove sensitive information. I say encrypt the mobile device.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's something that's not happening still.
I know.
It's not happening.
I know. Why is it? Especially a laptop. You know?
Yeah.
If I can go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that. I mean, unless you're running an older version of Windows, if you're running Windows 10 Professional, which you should always be running Professional version of Windows,
yeah,
encryption is included. I mean, it's no longer a cost thing. You can't say, oh, I can't afford it.
Right.
It's included.
Yeah.
You just have to turn it on.
Yeah. And you know, granted, you have to know what you're doing. And I know that when I was setting up my encryption, it took me, I had to wipe the drive multiple times on my new device to get BitLocker set up the way I wanted it to.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that's us.
And make sure you save your code because, you know, we have somebody who brought a laptop to us the other day that they had dropped from some unknown height. Can you get the data off of it? Sure we can. Then we find out it had BitLocker on it. So do you have the key? No, don't have the encryption key. Well, we're done here.
Yeah. See encryption you
by. Is doing what it's supposed to do, is keep people out.
Yeah. So unless you got a lot of money to spend, you're not getting into that. Yeah, we have our policy and procedure solution. One of the things that we make sure, because you get those templates. This is the kind of stuff that's different between actually doing policies and procedures and doing templates, right?
Mm-hmm.
You get the templates. They don't have you do a policy for encryption key management. No, you know, but we do. It's part of our where I broke down, and now we do policies and procedures. But it's because we worry about those things, and it's not just what does HIPAA say I have to have in a policy and procedure. We say, how can I actually run my business with this stuff? So make sure that you have a plan for encryption keys.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
I have a plan.
Yes. And the next one.
Turn off Wi-Fi.
Oh,
is that where you're at?
Yeah. Turn it off, the auto connect and Bluetooth. Just shut it down. And unfortunately, I use a lot of stuff with Bluetooth. And, you know, you can get bluejacked. It's not something that can't happen. So I'm super careful about monitoring what devices and connected. And, you know, my watch connects via Bluetooth. So I'm always messing around with what can and cannot connect and do things.
Have you tried the thing now where your phone will not lock if it's in a certain environment, like in your car or in your home?
No.
If it realizes it's there, it won't lock. It'll stay unlocked.
No, not doing that.
Yeah, people are doing that now. I'm noticing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That's
so let's think this through. You get in your car, it unlocks for convenience.
Mm-hmm.
And then you leave it in the car for some reason. Somebody breaks in, takes your phone.
It's unlocked.
It's unlocked.
Or in your house, it's unlocked.
Yeah. I guess unless they run away with it.
Mm-hmm.
Then it'll lock itself back.
Yeah, you would hope. But what can they do in the meantime? So, and, you know, the criminals are going to, they know this. So if they get in and it's unlocked, they'll change the password. Because it's, you know, or they'll go ahead and do whatever they need to do with it to root it or wipe it or whatever, trying because it's unlocked. So there's a lot you have to worry about if you're going to start doing, if security is convenient, it's not secure.
Right.
So there you go.
Yeah. You don't want anybody to have any access to anything like that. Mm-hmm. It's so easy, especially if you're using certain, really any cloud email. It's so easy to steal somebody's cloud email nowadays. Mm-hmm. If you can get, you know, into it where you can just tell it to, you know, change the account, it's going to ask you, is this you?
Yeah.
And if you say yeah, and then you can have that account then convert it over to someone else. So we'll get into how that works, but it's pretty easy to steal somebody's account information.
Yeah. If you get it, all you need is just that little bitty crack.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you look at a big piece of concrete and you see somewhere over in the corner, here's a pine tree, if you're here in Atlanta, pine trees growing out of it. It's a tiny little crack. That's all it needs.
Mm-hmm.
And don't auto connect to Wi-Fi. Please just don't ever do that. Don't. You know, unless it's one you've secured and you say, okay, yes, I will automatically connect to this.
So do we go down the rabbit hole of the pineapple?
You go ahead.
Okay. I'll just skim the surface of it. So there's this device called a pineapple, and somebody can take that device and make it look like your Wi-Fi network with the same name and everything,
mm-hmm.
and cause you to auto connect to that network. So when we say turn off your Wi-Fi auto connect, it's because it is so super simple. You know, if your Wi-Fi is called, you know, David's Wi-Fi, I can recreate that on another device and have you sending traffic through the other device, and you think you're connecting to your Wi-Fi, but you're not. You're connecting to the hacker's Wi-Fi.
That's called man in the middle attack.
Yeah. So,
you know, it's different at home than it is in a hotel or, you know, pretty much anywhere out in public.
That's our next one, avoiding public Wi-Fi.
Yeah, so let's talk about Wi-Fi, not just public Wi-Fi, but home Wi-Fi and some of the things you need to do to secure it and the things on your home network. If you mm-hmm. work at home, now you should do this anyway, but if you work at home, you need to be worrying about these things because, you know, anything you do, there's the story where an enterprise has got an infection that was malware infection, and it finally tracked it down that you weren't supposed to take these devices to your home networks because they had configured them on purpose to only work at the office, and they didn't have all the layers of security on them. So they're like, don't take these to other networks. And of course, somebody did. Took it to their home network, and on their home network got malware on it, which then, because they were able to plug it right back in and get beyond all the security that would have prevented that malware from getting into the office, they just kind of carried it right around the firewall. Well, literally carried it around the firewall.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about securing your devices when you connect to outside networks, outside the office.
So, you know, you have connections from home, you know, everybody talks about going to the coffee shop and working, and there's tons of places you can work outside of that. But let's look at some ways you can do that. Well, first of all, in the home, you're not typically going to have a quote unquote public Wi-Fi in the home.
Mm-mm.
So, you know, you have devices there. I recommend segmenting your network. Do you do that, Donna?
Oh, yeah. There's
multiple segments.
Yeah, I mean, there's layers of different routers and segments, and you know, this traffic can only flow there, and a guest network, and then there's a basic company network that only does certain things, and then you know, where I'm sitting at right now is on like a fourth network, fifth network.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. So it's probably, it may not be something you can handle yourself. You may have to get, you know, IT involved, but you know, here in my home office, kind of like you do, I have, you know, all my devices on different, not all of them on different ones, but I have, you know, my TV and Chromebit and Amazon stuff, you know, it's all on one network. My kids are on one network. My office is on one network. My personal stuff's on one network.
Yeah. And you know, there's a reason with kids, you know?
Yeah.
Because either they're very, very curious and interested in computers, which if they are, then have them get interested in security because they can make a good living at it. Mm-hmm. And there's a huge shortage in people, you know, and like we're looking at a long-term shortage of people that know how to do this. So if your kids have a, you know, don't let them become a black hat. Encourage them to become a white hat. And don't go to the dark side. And so, but let them be involved in the security, but make sure they're explaining to you what the security is, you know, at least where you can tell that they're actually worried about these things. Have them listen to our podcast. And, or you bring in, you know, the IT company at the office. For those of you that own the company, have the IT company secure your home network. Mm-hmm. They'll do it. David will do it.
Absolutely. Well, a lot of my clients, either the C-suite people work from home from time to time, or they have remote workers.
Right.
Or I've even seen this too. They'll have, you know, an accountant or somebody who will remote in from time to time, maybe mm-hmm. once a month or something like that. And then when you start having the conversation about, well, is your accountant doing things securely? Well, I don't know. You're giving them full access to your network, right? They're logging in.
Yeah, I know. We hired a bookkeeping service. You know, they work with all kinds of small businesses in Atlanta, and you get a bookkeeper assigned to you, right? So that's awesome. And we're like, well, we're going to need you to answer all these questions about your computer network because they work from home. Mm-hmm. And it was like, well, we've never had to do this before. Well, welcome to our world. And, you know, and so now she's excited because her network's more secure than everybody else that works for the company. We make sure it's patched and anything that's going wrong, she, you know, we'll tell her, hey, you need to do such and such. And so she's much more secure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about some options on public Wi-Fi though, because when you walk into that public place and you're connecting to their network, some bad stuff can happen.
Yes.
But you can use a couple things. One is you can use your mobile network. So if you can do the mobile hotspot.
I do that a lot rather than public Wi-Fi, depending on what I'm doing, you know, my battery and all that.
Mine's always too slow. I don't know. It's just
mine's pretty good.
Yeah, it's good on the phone, but when I throw the laptop on it, it's like, oh, come on. But the other thing, too, and this is what I do a lot, is I work through a VPN.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a whole discussion. So let's go down that path.
Well, just a little bit. You know, a VPN is a virtual private network.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, when you connect to the Wi-Fi, the very next thing you do is connect to this private network. So all your traffic now, the only traffic that's actually happening on the Wi-Fi, the public Wi-Fi, is your connection to the virtual private network. And that's mm-hmm. all it sees, and that's encrypted. So then all your other traffic's going through the VPN. How's that? Oh, thank you for telling me I'm right.
You're right. You're always right. I need to.
Yep.
So one thing you can do too is you can connect back to your office. So we have people that do that. They'll have a road warrior or somebody working from home, and they'll VPN directly back to the office to use the server or something to that effect.
It's still a VPN.
I understand that.
I didn't say which VPN.
So some VPN services that we use, I use VPN Unlimited, which is very inexpensive. I think I got a lifetime subscription to it for like five devices. I think it was like $40 or something like that.
So. Yeah, you just watch for those gadget deals. And mm-hmm. There's a lot of deals. Like if you just go to buy some of this stuff, you get their list price. But, you know, that's like buying a car.
Yeah.
You know,
never pay list.
Don't pay list. We use both VPN Unlimited and Tunnel Bear because it's multiple devices and sometimes one's working better than the other and depending on the network. And so there's a lot of variables there. So I just keep both. I have the same deal as David on the Unlimited and then on Tunnel Bear. I think I get five devices for 40, 50 bucks a year. And maybe even more than five devices. Anyway, so between the three of us that use these all the time, they're very, very handy. So if you're not on, I'm visiting the hospital or I'm at the hospital or I'm at a client site or whatnot, I still often will layer on the VPN on some client sites because especially if it's a new account. I don't know yet what they have. So, yeah. But it doesn't matter whether you're at a hotel or a coffee shop or I even use them a lot of times when I'm at, you know, the family's place because I don't know the surrounding area. I don't know what's going on. And if I'm doing something really important, if I'm checking email and all that, I probably wouldn't. But, you know, I was logging into a firewall to make a change over the Christmas holidays because people were getting stuff for Christmas. And so I was logging in and that I went ahead and connected to a VPN to go then log into that. So
yeah,
there you go.
VPNs are cool. I had to set one up for my son in South Korea. He couldn't get the Dish Network app to work on his laptop because he was not in the United States.
Yep.
So I set him up a VPN so that it would think it was in the United States.
That's the thing is what you have to realize is that, you know, but what these do is you could be like, here I am in Atlanta, I connect to the VPN, it'll look like I'm in Florida or Montana or, you know, somewhere else. So that it doesn't even look like you. And every now and then I'll be on the VPN somewhere and then I'll still be on it when I come back home and all of my stuff that's secured by my IP address stops working. But it's certainly something I know, you know, in some of these countries where you're not allowed to do certain things, my brother travels to China. And VPN is how he gets back in to be able to post things on Facebook and all those kind of things where a lot of stuff's limited. Mm-hmm. So he's used VPN for years because he travels and he doesn't have to then worry about a lot of things. Now, some of these countries are, if you travel internationally, you need to know that some of these countries are even locking down on what VPN you can use.
Yep.
So be very, very careful when you travel internationally, much more so.
So we talk a lot about technical things you can do to secure your device, but here's one people don't think of. Actually making sure the physical security of your device is taken into consideration.
I know, really? You know, just hiding them is not easy, you know? Leave it laying out there on the, I'm sorry, but having it sitting on the desk. Like, I'll run to the Coke machine with mine on the desk, but that's about it.
But I've seen people in coffee shops, like, leave their laptop and get to the bathroom.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you are nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, if somebody's sitting with you, you know. But, you know, here's one. I had a friend of mine had his iPad. He's at a lunch meeting. He's got his iPad out. They're using it in the meeting. It's laying on the table. They happened to be at a table that was near the door. Mm-hmm. And somebody came into the restaurant, you know, and headed out the restaurant. And as they get to the door, they're walking slow, grab the iPad and run.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I mean, stuff you got to worry about.
Wow. If you're going to set your phone down on the table, all I need is a good book and some silly putty, and I will take that phone. You'll never know it. I'll set that phone down on top of your, or set the book down on top of your phone, and when I pick it up, it's gone.
Yeah, it's with me now. So, yeah, people, you know, it, you really need to be aware and not be careless when you have these devices. I grabbed my laptop out of the car, and I was going in. I was with somebody. We were going into a restaurant, and they're like, "You got to carry that in?" I was like, "I got to follow my own policies and procedures."
You actually do that stuff?
Yeah, I do. You know, so that's what I say we have to do, then that's what we have to do.
Yeah. So lock your devices. You know, if you want to put them in your hotel room, look for a safe or, you know, some kind of secure place. If I'm going to leave mine in my car for whatever reason, I mean, I will lock mine in the trunk.
Yeah.
Or something.
But don't lock it in the trunk. Like, get to a big parking lot, get out, put it in the trunk, and then go somewhere. Because they watch. You see it, and then they just break into the trunk. Oh, you put something in the trunk. That must be valuable.
Mm-hmm.
So, they just pop that lock and get right in there. So, people are always... You know, my layer of paranoia is high.
Shouldn't be.
But, you know, the safes now in the hotels, the safes, really, the devices are so small. Mm-hmm. You know, I was in a hotel safe, put into our hotel safe, I put in two phones, a tablet, and two laptops, and had more room to put other things. So all the technology goes in, and then, you know, jewelry, whatever else we have with us, the valuable stuff, and lock that puppy right on up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you get to create a pin. It's important.
Yeah, and, you know, the ones, I like the ones with the finger, you know, where you got like four fingers you stick on there, and then you kind of do it in some order.
Yeah.
You've seen those?
Yeah, yeah.
And then you say... What's your pin to get in here? Oh, it's just, you know, the index finger, then the next finger, then the next finger, then the next finger. Like, no, that's like saying 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, don't do that.
Don't do it. Yes. So I always, you know, I have to make sure that I use a pin that I can remember. Because that would be, God, it's all locked up in there. But you got to know... Whatever pin you're setting, remember it, know how to open it, close it, all that kind of stuff. Test that a few times before you lock all your stuff away.
Mm-hmm.
So don't make it easy for a thief, which was creating unique pins was the next one on the OCR list. We keep wandering into our own territory. But we need to wrap this up now because we're spreading out here. But the next one is use geolocation cautiously. And this one is one that really... bothers me.
Well, you know, the geolocation thing where social media can tell where you're at, or if you post a photo or take a picture, it'll put the location on the photo. That's bad. But think about it. How many people do you see post on Facebook?
I'm where
they're
at?
Yeah. How long they're going to be gone and all this kind of stuff. They check in. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know.
But, you know, it's one thing if you secured that account so that only certain people can see it. You know, if I share, you can control who gets to see things, even on Facebook. You know, so I have stuff that I only share with my family, but I don't do a lot on Facebook anymore. Years ago, yes, but it's been years since I would be willing to do that because there's just people, there's so much. There's a lot of reasons we hate social media, but... And not just they post it on social media, but take that a step further and you take a photograph of something, right? It's got all of that data attached to that photograph.
Yeah.
So,
I took a photograph the other day of a check because the client sent me a check and I wasn't in a position to put the check in QuickBooks. So I took a picture of it so that I could put it in the bank.
Mm-hmm.
The next time I got on Facebook, guess what?
Yeah.
It showed the picture. It was like, would you like to make a post using this image? And I'm like, are you kidding me? So I'm pretty close to removing Facebook from my phone altogether because I did not like that.
No. And, you know, if I didn't need it for work, I'd probably ditch it. or occasionally need it to, you know, look up somebody or get in touch with people, and you can find them there. You know, somebody was giving me a hard time. All you post on Facebook is business stuff. You never post anything else. There's a reason.
Mm-hmm.
It's because I'm on a podcast and my co-host invites hackers to join us.
I will do that.
Ah. All right. So,
Dark Overlord, still waiting.
So, the last bit of OCR's newsletter was about, you know, covered entities and business associates. So everything we talked about up until now has nothing really to do specifically about HIPAA. It has to do with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But it does point out that you should conduct a risk analysis to identify risk and vulnerabilities to mitigate identified threats and vulnerabilities, meaning worry about these kinds of things in your policies and procedures and evaluate what risks are happening to your PHI. Because, you know, I've heard stories where the doctors are all excited. Oh, we've got, you know, a cloud-based EHR, so now I can be at the baseball game and do patient charts. Hmm. Okay, now there's a lot of layers here we need to talk about. Mm-hmm. Who's sitting by you at the baseball game? Who's looking over your shoulder? And granted, it's your kid's baseball game. We're not talking about professional Major League Baseball. But still, there's a lot more to take into account. You need to really evaluate where the vulnerabilities are and what could go wrong. And, you know, if you've got that thing logged in and you lay it down because there's a great play and somebody picks it up and takes off with it, what are you going to do then? So there's a lot of things you need to consider if you're going to do this. And all the things we talked about, these are real world things that you need to evaluate before you let people work at home or travel and have access to really valuable information. And believe it or not, email accounts, doing email, oh, well, it doesn't have PHI in it. It's the way in. It's the mm-hmm. way in. You know, you give them a way in. Everybody gets excited. They go, oh, we have encrypted email, so we don't have to worry. We can email anything. You still have something to worry about. What if your email gets hacked? Because how many times do we hear about people's email getting hacked? It's a long list. So there you have it. That's the end of OCR. Do we need to add anything? We added things all in there. But do we need to add anything more?
Just a closer.
Closer. All right. Well, there's a closer. David is our closer. We all know that. And as OCR says, bon voyage and safe cyber travels.
All right, folks. That is our show for today. And I'm closing it out. So please remember to follow us and share us out on your favorite social media site. Rate us and review us on the podcasting apps. We need your help to spread the word. So make it happen. As always, send your questions and ideas to contact at helpmewithhipaa.com. And remember, for Donna and myself, HIPAA is not about compliance. It's about patient care.
You've been listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, hosted by Donna Grindle and David Sims. The show created to help you with HIPAA. For more information or to ask us a question, visit our website at helpmewithhipaa.com. Neither Donna Grindle or David Sims are attorneys, and they do not offer binding legal advice concerning regulatory compliance. The information in this podcast should not be relied upon or construed as legal advice in any way. Consult your attorney for legal advice concerning compliance with HIPAA regulations.